سي.
Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, April 12, 2023. A 17-year-old girl whose eyes were damaged by her father in Tonj East County arrived in Juba for specialized eye care.
I am thankful to the government for standing with me about the situation of my child who has been hurt by her father.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A 17-year-old girl whose eyes were allegedly damaged by her father for refusing to enter into an arranged marriage has arrived in Juba on Wednesday for further treatment. A spokesperson of the South Sudan National Police Service, who received the girl and her mother at Juba International Airport, told reporters that the girl's father, Angelo Agany Kut Achwil, will be arraigned in court and, if convicted, could spend up to 7 years in prison. For VOA News, Rose Keji Benjamin reports from Juba.
Achanwer, the mother of eight, including the girl whose eyes were damaged, accompanied her daughter to Juba. She told reporters at Juba International Airport that she's yet to come to terms with what happened to her daughter.
I am thankful to the government for standing with me about the situation of my child who has been hurt by her father. What my husband has done has deeply hurt me. Had I not left for my father's house, he would have killed me. Because initially, it was me that had a problem with him. And the authorities in my area advised me to leave the home and go to my father's house and stay there for at least 6 months so that he could come down. If I knew such thing would have happened to my daughter, I would have not listened to the government and left my children alone. I have 8 children with him, and I have never done anything wrong to him.
Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin assured South Sudanese that police will do everything to bring the accused to book. General Justin asked South Sudanese to report cases of gender-based violence to the authorities, adding that the appropriate action will be taken against the father of the girl, who is also a police officer.
We need people to report early to police because we have a unit for special protection of girls, especially victims like this one. If it were not for those of Sister Sarah Joy coming in to help the mother, she would have died there in the village and no one would have bothered. What is the bad thing that she did to get such a punishment?
No one will bother.
Agany Kut Achwil, who is currently under detention in Tonj East County, shared a video on social media justifying his action.
It is good for you, the public, to listen to my voice as well, because up to now no one has talked to me so that they understand exactly what happened. People just take information from outside, and such information that is gotten outside, anybody can add their own onto it. Now you listen to me because I am a concerned person. This girl that said her eyes have been gouged is my daughter. Her name is Akot Agany. She is my second-born daughter. Now listen to what angered me to do such a thing. Akot started her crimes in 2021 on June 22nd, when she started to join a crew or this group called gangs. From there, she eloped with a man and she was a very young child of 13 years old. This was the first thing that made the public wonder how such a thing could happen. But I forgave her and followed her case with calm and freed her from prison and the young man who committed the crime with her.
Matthew Mathiang, a leader of Randall community in Tonj County, where the incident occurred, says the misunderstanding between Achwil and his daughter sparked a national outrage.
As a father, you're supposed to seek the law first. or report to your brothers first such that things like this will not happen. I give thanks to the media and NGOs for helping us, and also you have received us in Juba, and also the government for calling on the father to be brought to a court of law such that things like this will not happen again. I am taking the girl up to Egypt for treatment, and everyone should support me and the government such that the girl will be alive.
If convicted, the suspect could spend up to 7 years behind bars. Article 237 of the South Sudan's Penal Code states that whoever voluntarily causes a serious hurt upon conviction shall be sentenced to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 7 years and may also be liable to a fine. For VOA News, I am Roskeji Benjamin in Juba.
Authorities in Jungle State have suspended transportation along the Juba Bor Highway after unknown assailants ambushed a passenger vehicle traveling to Juba on Tuesday night. Jungle State Police Commissioner says at least 2 people were killed and several others injured during the attack. Dengai Deng has details for VOA from Juba.
Daniel Nyak, a businessman who runs a private clinic in Bor, says the suspension of transport between Juba and Bor is not a good news to his business. He says the suspension is going to have a negative impact on his business. Nyak says he has missed supplies of drugs for his clinic due to the insecurity along the Juba-Bor highway.
The road which comes from Juba is the one in which drugs and food are supplied to Bor town and other places which are connected. So if the road is blocked due to insecurity or due to any other calamity, it will automatically affect the businesses which are carried out or which are supplied by that road which comes from. Just like if the road from Nimoli is blocked, then it means things which comes from Uganda will automatically not find any entry. So there's no negotiation about what will happen. Automatically, businesses will be affected negatively.
Jonglei State Police Commissioner Major General Ilya Costa says at least 2 people were killed and several others injured Tuesday night when unknown assailants attacked a passenger vehicle at Jemeza Village along the Juba Bor Highway. He says commuters planning road trips to Bor should change their plans.
A certain group come to the road, to the main road, to the highway, start attacking the vehicles which is coming from Juba or going from Bor here. So they kill some people. Up to now, there is a high tension in that side. Well, according to what we get from here, that it is 2 people who are killed. But yesterday in the evening, also, there is a truck coming from Juba. Also, they attack it, but the report is not yet confirmed to us.
Costa says his office dispatched security personnel to comb the area and ensure the highway is safe for commuters who are mainly traders.
Our advice is that we have sent our forces there to go and see what is going on. I'm sure they will reach to the agreement so the road will be open so people will move. We told them that to wait until those people reach there and talk with those people who are on that side. Then after that, they can move.
Mayan Thiong, a taxi driver who carries passengers between Juba and Bor, says he lost income due to the road closure. Thiong says he is worried that if the authorities prolong the suspension of travel along the Juba-Bor Highway, his business will suffer.
The way we can survive in this business is when we travel. But if a vehicle remains in one place, it won't make money. And that, of course, can affect the business. So I want to ask the government to work on the issue of insecurity along the highway so that we can resume our work.
The spokesperson of the Jonglei State Legislative Assembly, Wang Boom, called on the authorities in Central Equatoria State to cooperate with their counterparts in Jonglei and provide security along the highway.
So 3 people were killed yesterday and 4 were also injured. So that incident triggered a lot of anger from the citizens of Jonglei State and particularly the taxi drivers. And this morning, they protest the protest and come and confide in the government secretariat. So I think for the government of Donglai State to intervene. I'm calling on behalf of Donglai State Parliament, calling upon the government of the Central Kwale State at least to do something to ensure that goods and services along Jiboboro has to go on.
Andruga Mabe, the Minister of Information in Central Equatorial State, says his government is working with the security forces to investigate the incident and ensure the highway is safe for use.
We cannot deny or cannot do it, but we need to verify our security qualifications because on that they are looking for this what has happened. It will be better we rely on the security sector to see exactly what has gone down and then they will let us know how to curb the problem that is arising now.
He advises frequent travelers on the Juba-Bor Highway to exercise caution while planning trips, adding that authorities in Central Equatoria are concerned about the security of commuters who use the Juba-Bor Highway. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum, where the United Nations spokesperson, Stephen Durich, has expressed deep concern over a recently circulated video where a Sudanese man asked for a fatwa at a public event to allow him to assassinate the special representative of the Secretary General for Sudan. Volker Pratis. Pratis is part of a mediation process to restore civilian rule in Sudan. For analysis, Nabil Biagio spoke with Khalud Khair, founding director at a think tank based in Khartoum. She told him the current chaotic situation in Sudan has emboldened Islamists.
The way that the Islamists have felt emboldened to express such thoughts quite publicly, and quite violent thoughts very publicly, is symptomatic of the political chaos that Sudan is under at the moment. The Islamists thrive on this kind of political chaos. Their general objective is to get back into power, to bring about a sort of Bashir-era political dispensation, an Islamo-military regime or government. They are unable to do so very easily for two reasons. One, they've been tested for 30 years and found wanting. And two, there is considerable resistance against their return, the likes of which have not been there throughout Sudan's independence history in the same way. And that frustration is leading them to sort of lash out and express their grievances and their frustrations, or their perceived grievances and frustrations, in very sort of violent ways, as is their way, against those that they believe are leading the charge against them. Oftentimes, we don't hear about these instances because they are directed towards, local protagonists or, people within the Sudanese political and social landscape. This time, of course, the nature of the threat against the SRSG Volkerfest life and just how sort of brazen it was. And during a political meeting, though, that it was attended by political leaders in Sudan, I think that sort of made it more egregious and gave it the level of attention that it has currently had. But I think none of this is surprising. It is, of course, something that a lot of people in Sudan immediately spoke out against.
Some people in Sudan, especially Islamists and supporters of the ousted President Omar al-Bashir, are angry with what they call foreign interferences in Sudan's affairs. And Volker Pratis seems to symbolize that kind of interference because he's leading the mediation team that's trying to, go in between the military and civilian forces to restore the transition in Sudan. How do you make of that sentiment?
I mean, the irony is that the role that the UN is playing within the tripartite mechanism, which includes also the African Union and the Intergovernmental Agency on Development, or IGAD, has not been as effective as many people think. However, it has been very public. There is actually a broad international community effort to get this agreement signed. Volker Perthes just happens to be the face of this effort. And I think in that sense, he has been attracting a lot of ill will, shall we say, from the Islamists, who see that it's easy to frame the push towards a final agreement of international interference because it goes directly against their interests. The Islamists don't want to see a final agreement signed that would see the role of the armed forces, whom they are allied to, diminished vis-a-vis the role of other armed actors. They don't want to see a civilian government that has non-Islamists in it, as is currently the trajectory, that would diminish their political and economic interests.
And the threat of religious extremism is real in Sudan. We know it from 2020 when Prime Minister then Abdullah Hamdok survived an assassination attempt. How big of a threat is it in this volatile Sudanese context?
It's difficult to quantify, I think. We don't have active publicly known cells, but we do have very specific and very vocal pro jihadist individuals, and they have also become more vocal in the past few weeks as the political chaos in Khartoum has continued. And so, there's a sort of mosaic, if you will, of different extremists / jihadis who all sort of work together in order to create the sense of instability, but also who effectively like to stoke fear, but also provide themselves as an answer, right? Sudan historically has not been a country where jihadism and extremism is easy to take root, mostly because of the Sufi tendencies of Islam as practiced here in Sudan. But when there is political chaos, I mean, we've seen this internationally, that is when these extremists thrive. I don't think their message will gain as much traction as they would like.
That's a Khartoum-based political analyst and director at the Conference Advisory, Khaled Khair. She spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio this past hour from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the governor of Central Equatoria State has declared war on gangs across Juba Town. Find out why after the break. The government of Central Equatorial State has ordered local authorities and police to apprehend members of gangs suspected of terrorizing people in residential areas in Juba Town. Addressing residents of Muniki Payam Wednesday, Governor of Central Equatorial State said his administration is ready to arrest any suspected member of gangs operating in residential areas. For VOA News, Viola Elias has the story from Juba.
Governor of Central Equatoria State, Emmanuel Adil Anthony, says office has ordered security forces to apprehend members of gangs, including the so-called Toronto Boys and another group known by the N-word in the capital Juba. Governor Adil made this remark Wednesday during a tour to Munuki residential area where he addressed local residents. He ordered quarter council officials and police stations in the area to put an end to criminal activities by gangs in Juba Town.
I am informing all the 24 quarter council to work day and night, whether on foot or on motorcycle, to search for where these gangs are and to end these practices. These gangs are our children. They are coming from the residential areas, so don't just laugh, but you also have responsibility.
Adil told parents to discourage their kids from joining criminal gangs, warning that the state government will arrest individuals who are members of groups who have been accused of taking part in violence robberies across Juba Town.
I am appealing to you to inform your children who practice this gang activities to stop, because if they don't, we will arrest and imprison them. This time we will not detain them in Juba, but in Torit or Wau, because if they are detained here, The parents may rush to the police station. If any parent defends their children, we will take them along and imprison them for some time.
Mary James, a resident of the Rock City residential area in Juba, welcomed the governor's decision to take actions against the gangs who have been disturbing residents. She says the state government should ask rehabilitation centers to support gangs members who are willing to change.
Most of the gangs are teenagers, and if they are arrested, they will stay idling in prison. Or is there something they can do, like get an education, get psychological support so that they are aware? So when they get out after 3 or 4 years, they will become successful and know what is good and bad. It should not be just a prison whereby they will waste their time in there, but a prison where these children are able to work. If there are agricultural farms to cultivate so that the country can benefit.
47-year-old Keji Jeremiah, a resident of Munuki Payam, says she was a victim of armed robbery in Juba. She says a group of armed robbers broke into her home and stole her son's only source of livelihood. Jeremiah welcomed the state government crackdown on the armed robbers and gangs operating in residential areas in Juba.
I am one of the people who have been robbed by armed robbers at a gunpoint at night. Some robbers came to my home and took a motorbike, which isn't even mine, but belongs to someone that my son works for. I almost ran insane, but because of my faith in God and it was advanced me, I became sane. I had to look for money and buy a new motorcycle and give it to the owner. In the past years, we had the night vigilantes who moved at night, so I think the government should implement that system.
Joseph Taban Morris is the Quarter Council representative in Munuki Payam. He says the governor's determination to fight crimes could protect residents in Munuki Payam who have been victims of robberies and killings by gangs who use motorbikes.
We have also these armed robbers who always loot people during night, even during the day. There is also the killing of the boda-boda riders, which is also a security risk. The other challenge which we have in Munuki block is the some services like electricity.
Earlier this week, the spokesperson of South Sudan National Police Service, Major General Daniel Justin, said the police have been monitoring the activities of gangs in residential areas. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Authorities at the Juba International Airport say a UN chopper headed to Bor carrying 16 passengers, including 4 crew members, crashed Wednesday shortly after a takeoff. The head of Juba International Airport says aviation experts are looking into the cause of the crash. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Juba.
Kur Kwol, the director of Juba International Airport, told South Sudan in Focus that a helicopter operated by the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, crashed after takeoff from the airport.
The chopper was going to Bor, capital of Jambolea State, and also was about to proceed to a rare state called Gul. Gul is around a youth area. I cannot yet say what is the cause. Nobody knows what is the cause. The plane was just a light, because the passengers were less than 30 people. The passengers were 16 passengers, and there were no more luggages. So probably, maybe it is a technical problem, because the plane was on the garage east of the Juba airport. So the plane landed less than 30 meters away from where it took off.
Kwol says UN plane crashed at the Juba International Airport. He says all the 16 passengers, including 4 crew members who boarded the Rwandan contingent plane, survived without injuries.
It's a normal thing. It happened because the plane or anything was done by a human being. So it can happen to happen, because the human beings are not the God. So anything done by a human, it can get damaged. Yeah. So it's not something for South Sudan, that in Japan and South Sudan, the plane is crashing all over the world.
The director of Juba International Airport says a team from the South Sudan government and the UN are investigating the cause of the accident. Linda Tom is the spokesperson of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS. She confirms the incident, adding the pilot of the chopper experienced challenges during take-off.
Today, a UNMISS helicopter heading from Juba to Gul via Bor in Jonglei State made a precautionary landing due to a technical issue that occurred shortly after takeoff. Fortunately, there was no injuries and all UNMISS passengers and crew were safely evacuated. An investigation is underway to determine the cause of the incident.
In February this year, a 12-seater caravan plane bearing registration 5YBMZ crashed and killed one person and left three others injured after it departed Juba for Mandeng in Hulang County of Upper Nile State. 2 months ago, a cargo plane heading to Langkian in Upper Nile State with a handful of passengers, crew and food commodities crashed 5 minutes after takeoff from Juba International Airport. All three passengers and two crew members on board survived. South Sudan Aviation authorities say the high number of plane crashes is due to the use of outdated aircrafts and overloading planes. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Juba.
And that's all we prepared for you on this Wednesday. We now take you to Uganda and the song Mungato by Dennis. Listening to Dennis and the song Mungato. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, we wish you a good evening and remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oh,
shoot up.